भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
नपर्ययम् निरवध्य संयुजम् ससाधु कृत्यं विबुदायुषपि
वा
यमाभजन् दुर्जरगेहशृङ्खला संवृश्यथर्वार्पतियतु साधुना न पर्येहं निरवध्य संयुजम् ससाधु कृत्यं विबुधाय शापि
वा
यमाभजं दुर्जरगेहशृङ्खला संवृत्य तद्वा प्रतियात् तु
साधुना.
The translation and word meanings for this verse are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 180. In conclusion, the gopis became eternally glorious by their behavior in the Lord's temporary absence. And the mutual love between them and the Lord was wonderfully enhanced. This is the perfection of Krishna and his loving devotees. This purport is actually very, very, it is very wonderful, even though it is very short and it sounds very, very, it sounds very simple. It is as if everything is understated in here. But actually, we can expand it out, and we shall do that. I'll read it one, the conclusion. This is the conclusion that is said. The gopis became eternally glorious. They became famous as the greatest of devotees by their behavior in the Lord's temporary absence when the Lord left the rasa dance. And the mutual love between them and the Lord was wonderfully enhanced. Both of their ecstasies increased. This is the perfection of Krishna and his loving devotees when they increase each other's ecstasy. And that's the end of this chapter. And now let's just go back and understand what has happened. So Krishna has left the rasa dance. The gopis, again, it's such an incredible occurrence. Krishna has called them with the sound of his flute. And it is because of the particular nature of the sound of Krishna's flute, it has dragged them, practically speaking. It has awakened such ecstasy, ecstatic love in their hearts that it has pulled them from their family situations because of their love for Krishna, and called them into the forest in the middle of the night, in the full moon night. And if you know what the full moon in the Sarat season is like, it's very, very, very big when it first rises. And it's completely, it's very yellowish and huge and very dominating and very, very, very heart-touching. So in that atmosphere, Krishna has called, and when the sun is just setting, because astronomically, on the full moon night, exactly when the sun sets is the time when the moon rises. So just as the sun set, and when the sky is still covered in red from the setting of the sun and very beautiful, then this huge, beautiful moon has arisen. And Krishna begins playing his flute in this setting, and the hearts of the gopis become captivated. And no matter what they're doing, some of them feeding their young children, some of them are cooking, it doesn't make a difference. They just stop everything and leave and heed the call of Krishna's flute. And then they get there, their hearts are completely melted with transcendental ecstasy, loving ecstasy. And Krishna says, it's very nice in the middle of the night with all these beautiful young girls, Krishna, in his attractive form as the Natabara, as dressed in his wonderful way with peacock feather upon his head and his flute and different colored cloths around him and pearl necklaces and jewels and dressed in a completely attractive way. He says, thank you very much for coming. You've now seen the forest. You can go home. And the gopis begin, with their feet, they begin marking the soft soft dust of Braja, and then they have a little discussion at that time. And as a result of that discussion, and basically they say, okay, we can go home. But our minds are here with your lotus feet. What will we do when we're home with our minds are here? We find that sometimes too. Our mind is somewhere else while we're doing something. Well, the gopis' minds were forever at the lotus feet of Krishna with great love. So Krishna then began his famous rasa dance. And one of the acharyas have explained it. It was Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Because sometimes we ask that we understand that it's the highest of qualification to be able to participate or even view the rasa dance. But we see that the demigods were in their aeroplanes, in their Biman, and they were viewing it. How is that possible that they were seeing this? This rasa dance. So Krishna, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that they were seeing Krishna dancing, but they could not see Krishna dancing with the gopis. Mm-hmm. So they were just watching Krishna dance around, and they were thinking how wonderful it is that Krishna is dancing the way that he's dancing. So in any case, at some point in the middle of this incredible dancing, Krishna leaves the rasa dance. And the gopis become mad. Their love escalates. Just like the example, like a poor man who gets wealth and then loses it all. He cannot think about that, anything other than that wealth continuously. It has completely taken over his mind. So in that way, the gopis, having lost the association of Krishna after having gotten it, and being so enchanted by being in the association of the all-blissful, all-ecstatic, Supreme Personality of Godhead, they went mad when he left. And the madness, the ecstatic separation of Mahabhav in their consciousness caused them to be mad. And then it came out of their mouth in wonderfully spoken prayers, which is the previous chapter, the 31st chapter, the Songs of the Gopis in Separation, which is known as the Gopi Gita. But throughout everything, all that was in their mind was Krishna and how to please him. Yate charan bhuja. The last verse. Yate sujata charan bhuja stana priyeshu charan bruham staneshu. They were just thinking that when Krishna had just, he treated them like little dolls and made them dance according to his desires. And then he leaves them. And what are they thinking? That Krishna, while you're wandering around in the forest, having left them, what happens if you step on a stone and your lotus feet, your pinkish, soft lotus feet, they're so soft that what happens if you step on a stone and it causes you some pain or inconvenience? Krishna has just made them dance driven them mad by his activities. And look what they're thinking. Then when Krishna comes back, he begins. They ask him a question because they're in their ecstasy, another variety of their ecstasy is that they are somewhat upset with him by the way he's dealt after all they've come out. And this, of course, is completely on the transcendental platform. It's practically speaking, or actually speaking, it's impossible for us to imagine what's going on because it's spiritual, it's transcendental, it's the Lord dealing with his Ladini Shakti, Radha Krishna Pranayava Kritya Ladini Shakti Asman. There's nothing going on here but Krishna interplaying with his internal energy. When we impose our own consciousness on it, which what else can we do? We can only see with our eyes. If I had purple colored glasses, you all would look very purple right now. So that's our consciousness. We see with our tinged consciousness. And our consciousness only sees matter, the dealings between the material energy, the different Maya Shakti and the different elements of the Maya Shakti, the Upadan Karan and the Mitta Karan, the ingredients and the pushings of the three modes of material nature. That's all we see. So this is what we tend to see. This is what we will see with our material eyes when we view something completely spiritual. So we're asked to take that vision and put it aside and just hear and don't even think, practically speaking, about what it is. But this is completely spiritual on a completely different level, on an ecstasy, level of spiritual ecstasy that in fact is completely inconceivable to a conditioned soul. We can say it is like It's like Prabhupada, I use this example because Prabhupada used it in the 60s. There are two examples. During the Vietnam War, someone asked Prabhupada, what's it like in Goloka Vrindavan? And during that time, the young boys were being called into the army and the governmental organization was called the draft board. They were drafted into the army. So Prabhupada, they asked, what's it like in Goloka Vrindavan? And Prabhupada's reply was, you won't be bothered by the draft board. Because what's it like in Goloka Vrindavan? The anxieties you have now, they'll not be there. Or another time, all the young boys who used to take LSD asked Prabhupada, the drug, what's it like? The ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, he said, it's like an ocean of LSD. What could you say? If a person knows only the value of 5 cents, and you're trying to explain to him what it's like to have $65 billion, he knows the value of $1,000 even. You have a consciousness when you have $1,000. What would your consciousness be like if you had $65 billion? So calculate how much money you're making in interest every second on that. The interest on your interest on your interest on your interest. We can't understand what that's like. We can't actually understand what's going on here. But it is so wonderful that the greatest of sages, the greatest of the greatest of sages, are praying to be grasped outside of Vrindavan, even Brahma and Narada and Uddhava, so that the dust of the gopis' feet will touch them. Those who are most realized are worshipping this pastime. The person with $50 billion can understand what it's like to have $65 billion, but the person with $1,000, he cannot understand. So the greatest of sages, who are free from all material desires, not a tinge of kam, lust, they worship these pastimes and the lotus feet of the gopis. So the gopis, being in their ecstasy, somewhat upset with Krishna, they asked him a trick question, a riddle, to try to get him to admit that he had not treated them properly by leaving the rasa dance. And after all, they were just young, tender, innocent girls. 12, 13, 14, 15. So they said, "Oh Krishna, oh Achyuta, please tell us of different kinds of lovers, which one is the best?" There are those who just reciprocate equally according to how they love. They are loved. And there are those who just love and love and love. It doesn't make a difference how they're reciprocated with. And there are those who don't reciprocate at all. You love them? They just act as if they're indifferent. So Krishna, in some verses, he began his reply. First he judged the different qualities of the lovers that they had mentioned. They were trying to trap Krishna so that the words incriminating him, so he would confess his own crimes and ingratitude. So he said, those who just reciprocate equally, this is just baniya, this is just business. But those who just give and give and give, they are of two qualities. They are full of compassion, like the great devotees. They give and give and give. You may crucify them, and they're praying for that you be forgiven. You may beat them in 21 marketplaces, and they're worried for the welfare of those who are beating them, that they don't get in trouble because you're not dying, like Thakur Hari does. And people are giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, the great devotees. And then there's the parental persons who give with relationship. Out of the two, the Karuna devotees are the highest, because there's no relationship even on the physical level with the people they're giving to. And then the third type, the neutral, or the ones who don't reciprocate, are divided into four categories. The Atmarang, the ones who are spiritually situated within, because of their spiritual ecstasy, they don't reciprocate. And there's the Aptakam, those who are materially satisfied, who don't want anything from anyone, so they don't reciprocate with anyone, whatever gifts they get. And then there's the akritagya, the ungrateful, those who are given things, but they don't reciprocate, they're not grateful, it hasn't been enough. And then there's the guru druha, which means those who are they're somewhat antagonistic to those who have given them support in one way or another, and those are further the antagonistic to those who have supported them. And there are different categories of those as well, three different categories. So Krishna said the second category is very nice, and then he explained that he's not in any of the, is not as Lord Narayan, as Krishna. He's Atmaram, he's Lord Narayan, but here he's just a coward boy. As the Aptakam, I'm full of desire, all my desires are fulfilled as Lord Narayan, but here I'm a coward boy who's called you out into the forest. That's not me. And then as the Akrita Gya, yes, I acted improperly by, ungratefully, by walking away from the rasa dance, but then I came back and gave you the greatest blessing, my darshan. so I am and I'm not all these things. But, and then the gopis, because the gopis were thinking, clearly, Krishna, you're, they wanted him to say that he's acting ungratefully to them. Of course, this again is on the highest spiritual platform of loving ecstasy. So then in the last verse that we, yesterday's verse, or 2 days ago, Krishna said, in fact, my dear gopis, there were reasons. I went away from the rasa dance, but it wasn't out of ungratefulness. First of all, when I don't appear in front of devotees who are immature, that their lamentation removes all impurities from their heart because they're surrendered to me. They've already given themselves to me. And for those who are pure already, when I'm not appearing before them, their attachment for me simply increases. And the gopis were upset with that because this was for ordinary prema bhaktis or immature, and they are on a billion times higher than that. So you're treating us like ordinary persons, and that's why you disappeared? Ordinary, pure, exalted prema bhaktis? No, we're not on that level either. And then Krishna gave two other reasons. He said, I wanted to increase your attachment for me and your ecstasies in separation. And two more reasons. I wanted to hear your love-filled words. And that was the previous chapter. And that chapter, the 31st chapter, is so highly venerated by the devotees. I wanted to hear your love-filled words. And I wanted to show the prema bhaktas who are attached to me, I wanted them to hear your example. And the gopis were thinking that, who's the center of all these things? How about that? That's what we were accusing you of. Not being concerned about us at all. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explained Krishna's mind in a very, very wonderful way. This is still yesterday's verse, and then we'll get to today's verse, which concludes this incredible sequence of giving us the highest position of what love, what devotion actually is, and what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching, and what Srimati Radharani is the emblem of. So anticipating this type of thoughts, Krishna says, O dearly beloveds, the dust of your lotus feet is more dear to me than countless of millions of my own lives. Please forgive my wickedness for treating you like ordinary persons today. For my sake, you gave up worldly opinion by ignoring what is proper and improper, and also the Vedas you gave up by ignoring what is religious and irreligious. In addition, you gave up your affection for your families, your wealth, and your friends, all to come to me. In order to increase your loving propensities, I have responded to you invisibly, as if you were my ordinary devotees. I disappeared from your sight with the desire to hear your love-filled lamentations. With such pitiful explanations of repentance, Krishna was apologizing. Krishna states that he has done a great injustice, and he says, devotees such as you have never existed in the past, present, or in the future. There are no devotees, no other devotees like you, whose attraction for me is so great that it never decreases even by one atom. This is love. Krishna treats them as he likes for his own reasons, and their attachment and love for him never decreases by one atom. Please, therefore, forgive this injustice of mine, which I did to show the other Prema Bhaktas the great glory of your love and separation. And also, you are Priya. Forgive me for my lack of consideration of you. I had so many purposes in doing this. But forgive my lack of consideration with you. Please don't be inimical to me or find fault with me, because I'm dear to you. Certainly lovers do not take seriously the faults of their beloved, their Priyam. Then it comes to this verse where Krishna completes what he wants to say. And he says in this verse that I am unable to repay my debt to you for your spotless service. In fact, you have defeated me. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, I cannot repay you. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. The deeds are your activities to please me. And those, in fact, give birth to the highest, the pinnacle, the topmost point of ecstasy, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj says that is millions of times more than the ecstasy that Krishna experiences. We can say the words, but maybe that's all we should do. It gives us something to think about. Krishna is inconceivably ecstatic, and the result of the gopis' love is their ecstasy is millions of times more than God's ecstasy. Now that's impossible. Yes. And he does it. And Krishna's Kaviraj will explain why. And it just further increases the glory and of the gopis' love. But first let's read the commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. Now please hear what is going on in my mind. He's explaining the mind of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Your association with me is faultless and unconditional. Nivadya samyutam. It does not depend on any condition of material desire, kam, fruit of work, karma, worldly opinion, lok, religious codes, dharma, or the injunctions of shastra even. You are all saintly, sasadhu, and simply by your good deeds, your saintliness is proved by your good deeds, what you have done, which in the eyes of the world is improper, but this is the highest point of your saintliness. You've acted fully with no other consideration other than to please me. It is not by coming into contact with something that you have become sanctified. I am incapable of properly reciprocating with you, even if I were to attain a lifetime of the demigods. The word kritiyam is in the singular. You see the word kritiyam? Yeah. By your activities, what you have done, kritiyam, it's in the singular to show that Krishna is referring to even one of their activities is saturated with so much love that it's incapable for him to repay by lifetimes of the demigods. And they are continuously acting in this way. Even one such action of the gopis can never be repaid, Krishna says. Completely cutting off samvritsya, the chains of attachment to relatives, geha shrinkala, such as husbands, sisters-in-laws, fathers and brothers, which should not be cut. You worship me, mabhajan. Another meaning of mabhajan is as follows. Ma is used as a negative in this case, meaning you cut off all bonds to your family, and after attaining me, you no longer reciprocate with them, unlike immature yogis who still maintain some family attachment. I, on the other hand, this is why Krishna is explaining, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains why Krishna mentions this, that he's cutting off family and how, and the connection between that and Krishna's inability to reciprocate with them. I, on the other hand, Krishna says, I worship you, but at the same time, I continue having affection for my parents, my brothers and friends. Even though I have promised to reciprocate equally with those who surrender unto me, ye tamam prapadyante, I failed to carry out that promise. I did not respond as you did by giving up my father, my mother, my brother and friends. It is impossible for me to repay you for what you have done. Therefore, let your own pure character be the reward. Although your good character makes you forgive me for my fault and it relieves me of my debt, still I remain forever indebted to you. This is Krishna speaking to the gopis. So the gopis were trying to catch Krishna and make him admit his fault. And Krishna's pure and open-hearted response has melted their hearts, and they got him to do that. So who has won this exchange? Who is right? The gopis or Krishna? But then, the gopis considered in their minds, because Krishna had left, even though Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of transcendental qualities, he's devoid of the slightest trace of any fault. And he knows about the love that we have for him. But in order to establish the superiority of our love for him, for that reason, and for the reason of making himself indebted to us, therefore he has performed this act of walking from the rasa dance and giving us up. To glorify us in our love and to give him the opportunity to express his eternal indebtedness to us. So he has a chance to say that he can never repay our love. Therefore, he walked away. We, on the other hand, who wanted to defeat Krishna and criticize him for his conduct, which we did with our riddles, have been most immoral in our attempt. Whereas he desired only to establish our exalted position. We could never act like that. Thus, in effect, we have become conquered by Krishna's love. This is Goloka Vrindavan. So who won the exchange? You decide. Whose love is stronger? The gopi's love or Krishna's love? Because it's so, love, strongest means most subservient, not overlording. In the material world, strongest means overlording. But in Goloka Vrindavan, it means most subservient. So the one who loves the most becomes defeated by the other one. So which one is superior? So the desire is always to be defeated. This is love. This is love. This is what we aspire for. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he quotes the last two verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita in describing the reason for Mahaprabhu's advent. Because Mahaprabhu himself, Krishna himself, anarpitam siram sarat kruna vatirno kalau samapayitam unnat ujra rasam sabaktim sriyam. He himself was so attracted to the love that the gopis have and the ecstasy that they experience by loving him, that he came to taste that. That's the internal reason for his coming. He was attracted to that. Even Krishna is attracted to the love of the gopis because it is what it is. So, in the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, he describes something of the reasons for Mahaprabhu's advent. And first he says, the pure love of the gopis has become celebrated by the name Kam. And Kam means what? Desire or lust. The dear devotees of the Lord, headed by Uddhava, desire to taste that love. In other words, it is not of this material world. Otherwise, how could the greatest of devotees desire to experience it? Love and lust have different have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. And then that verse we've been quoting, Atmendriya Priti Vansa Tare Balikam, Krishnendriya Priti Sadare Premanam. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kam, lust, but the desire to please the senses of the Lord is prema, love. The object of lust is only the enjoyment of one's own senses, but love caters to the enjoyment of Lord Krishna, and thus it is very powerful. Social customs, scriptural injunctions, bodily demands, fruit of action, shyness, patience, bodily pleasures, self-gratification, and the path of Vanashrama Dharma, which is difficult to give up, the gopis have forsaken all of these, as well as their own relatives and their punishment and scolding for the sake of serving Krishna. They render loving service to him for the sake of his enjoyment. That is called firm attachment to Lord Krishna. It is spotlessly pure, like a clean cloth that has no stains. Therefore, lust and love are quite different. Lust is like dense darkness, but love is like the bright sun. Thus, there is not the slightest taint of lust in the gopis' love. Their relationship with Krishna is only for the sake of his enjoyment. And then he quotes the final verse from the 31st chapter of Yate Sujata Charambru Hastaneshu Bhitasanai Priyadadimihi Kakeshu Tenatatim Matasitad Vyatate Nakim Sit Kopari Dir Brahmati Bhavata Yushamna. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently upon our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with an anxiety. This is again when Krishna leaves the Rasa dance, that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. The gopis did not care for their own pleasures or pain. All their physical and mental activities are directed towards offering enjoyment to Lord Krishna. They renounce everything for Krishna. They have pure attachment to giving Krishna pleasure. O my beloved gopis, and this is the next to last verse from the chapter we just read. You have renounced social customs, scriptural injunctions, and your relatives for my sake. I disappeared behind you only to increase your concentration upon me. Since I disappeared for your benefit, you should not be displeased with me. Lord Krishna has a promise from before to reciprocate with his devotees according to the way that they worship him. In whatever way my devotees surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows in my path. In all respects, O son of Prita. That promise has been broken by the worship of the gopis, as Lord Krishna himself admits this verse. Na pariyaham niravadya samyujam sasadu krityam vabudhaya sapiva yamad bhajandur zayageha srinkala samrishyatanva patayuta saduna. O gopis, I am unable to repay my debt for your spotless service. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Now, whatever affection we see in the gopis show to their own bodies, know it for certain to be only for the sake of Lord Krishna. The gopis think, I have offered this body to Lord Krishna. He is its owner, and it brings him enjoyment. Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body. It is for this reason that they cleanse and decorate their bodies. Krishna says, quoting from the Adi Purana, O Arjuna, there are no greater receptacles of deep love for me than the gopis, who cleanse and decorate their bodies because they consider them mine. There is another wonderful feature of the emotion of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. When the gopis see Lord Krishna, they derive unbounded bliss, although they have no desire for such pleasure. The gopis taste the pleasure 10 million times greater than the pleasure Lord Krishna derives from seeing them. The gopis have no inclination for their own enjoyment, and yet their joy increases. That is indeed a contradiction. For this contradiction, I can see only one solution. The joy of the gopis lies in the joy of their beloved Krishna. When Krishna sees the gopis, his joy increases, and his unparalleled sweetness increases also. And that is the pleasure of the gopis. And therefore, Krishna's ecstasy increases, then the gopis' ecstasy increases, and they become more beautiful, because when someone's happy, they become more beautiful. And then when Krishna sees their beauty increase and their happiness increase, his happiness and ecstasy increases. And then when gopis see that Krishna's happiness is increasing, their life feels fulfilled, and their beauty and their ecstasy and their happiness increases. And when Krishna sees that the gopis' beauty and ecstasy and happiness increases, his ecstasy increases. And when the gopis... And this, it goes on like this forever and ever and ever and ever. Anandam bhudi vardhanam. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the gift that Srila Prabhupada brought around the world, representing his Guru Maharaj and representing the Guru Parampara. This is the gift of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu. This is what Mahaprabhu's was relishing in Jagannath Puri. This is Vrindavan. This is the wonderful dealings of Sisi Radha Balabha. So we said, serve. Who should we serve? Anyway, that's something to think about. How we should serve and who we should serve. That's what we should think about. I'm a servant. I want to increase the love in my service. How can I serve? How can I please Krishna? How? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta.